God doesn't send fruit through the vine, not directly. He sends fruit again. The vine strengthens, nourishes, and brings all the sap and nutrients, but the branches are what actually bear the fruit. The church is the vehicle to fulfill the mission of God. God's on a mission, and he wants to use you as his branch to bear fruit for him.
Friends, you are joining us in a brand new series here today on Live in the Light about life on mission. Every single one of us Christ followers is called to live our life on mission for the glory of God. But what does that look like in my day-to-day? How can my life truly shine for Jesus? What does my day, my week, my month look like if I'm truly living on mission for him? Last time, we discussed the purpose of the series, that every believer would know that God has strategically placed them for his divine purposes to be on mission for him. I think so many of us hear missions and assume short-term trips or something cross-cultural, but what we need to understand is that if we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus, he has a mission for us right here, right now. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Robbie.
You look at the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, our God is a sending God. And the heart of our God to send is that he might save. Powerful, beautiful, and awesome. I got a few more verses that I want us to see here too. Again, different day. We're kind of building a foundation. We're going through systematic again scriptures. I pray it's encouragement to you. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, let's go 10:30. Let me hear those pages turn. Encourage your neighbor, guilt trip them, pressure them, whatever it takes, okay? Get them to turn, here we go, okay? Exodus 3, again, I will do a lot of the lifting for you after this, but I'm gonna ask you to turn here because it's right next door to Genesis, okay? Genesis chapter 3, again, we know the context. This is Israel enslaved in Egypt. This is Israel horribly oppressed again by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God is not indifferent to their suffering. His timing is not theirs, but he is not indifferent. And God sends in the midst of such hardship, he sends. Look at Exodus 3:10. Again, symbol here also on the screen for you. Come, I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh. Why? That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice our God is a sending God. Okay, why does God send here? He sends to save. Abraham is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The picture, again, him, families being blessed. And then Moses, real story, real person, real salvation again from slavery to Egypt, but foreshadowing the ultimate fulfillment, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ to set people free from their sins. Jesus Christ to break us out of the prison cells and enslavement of sin. Jesus Christ is sent. Our God is a sending God. Abraham, Moses. We also hear this in the book of Malachi. I'll turn there for you, okay? You don't have to now. You can thank me later, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 on the screen for you. This is a prophecy of John the Baptist, okay? What does God say? Behold, I send my messenger. Our God is a sending God. He's a sending God. Our God is on mission. He is on mission. Why does he send John the Baptist? He sends John the Baptist to prepare the way for the ultimate sent one, Jesus Christ. Our God's on a mission, man. He's sending people all over the place because he is sending to save. He is on mission again to redeem. And what's the point I want us to meditate on? It's this. Sending is not just what our God does. Sending is who he is. I'll say it again. Sending is not just what our God does. Sending is who he is. The heart of our God is to send, right? Because our God is a God on mission. His mission is to save. Another powerful example of this is the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6, verse 8, on the screen for you here, the verses. So this is the throne room vision that Isaiah has. This incredible, in some ways, unparalleled vision of God's holiness and his sovereign rule and his righteousness. And Isaiah is melting in the vision of God's holiness. And in this throne room vision, God speaks. And here's what God says first from this incredible picture in Isaiah 6. God says this. He says, "Whom shall I send?" Of all the things he could say, this is what he says. "And whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" And then Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me," trembling, can barely speak. "Here I am, send me." And then God says, notice, the next thing he says, "Whom shall I send?" And he says, "Go," because our God is a sending God. Why? Because our God is a God on mission. He's on a mission to save. He's on a mission to redeem. I want you to notice one more thing in this verse too, which will lead us to where we're going next. God says, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" Why is that significant? That's a reference to the Trinity. That's indicating the reality of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, us in plural. And that leads us to our second point then here right now, which is this: the Trinity by nature is sending. The Trinity by nature is sending. Some of you are like, "What do you mean by that, Robbie? What do you mean?" Well, think. Ready? The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Ready? And the Son and the Spirit send the disciples and the church into the world. The Trinity by nature is sending. He is always sending. Let's just break that down then on the screen beside me and behind me. Let's break this down one at a time. Let's understand that the Father sends the Son. The Father sends the Son. If there's ever proof that God is a sending God, it's the proof that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. He sent his only Son. If you look at John 3:16 again on the screen, notice, for God so loved the world, he gave. He gave means he sent. He sent as a gift, but he sent his Son to earth, what? To die for the sins of humanity. Look also at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, again, this is Jesus talking. He says, "For the works the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing bear witness about me," what? "That the Father has sent me." The Father is a sending God. He sends his Son. "And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me." Then we have Galatians chapter 4. Again, the Father sends the Son. This is the verse of the incarnation. This is a verse speaking to Christmas. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent forth the Son. The Father sends the Son. The Trinity by nature is sending. Let's break down the second part of that. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Again, we're looking at scripture. It's beautiful and wonderful. John 14, look at John 14. This is Jesus talking now. Jesus says to his disciples, "But the Helper," the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance of what I have said to you." The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 15 now. John 15, "When the Helper, Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Again, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. John 16 now. John 16 again, about the Holy Spirit. "Nevertheless, I tell you this truth, it is to your advantage that I go away," Jesus says. "If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, ascend to heaven," Jesus says, "I will send him." I will send the Holy Spirit to you, okay? The Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Again, because our God is a God on mission. He's a sending God. Now, let's understand this, okay? The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. Why? We, as born again, genuine Christ followers, saved by grace through faith, we are saved, we are made alive, we have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, not to sit around and make us feel good. We receive the Holy Spirit to fulfill our mandate in him, right? If you need proof of that, Acts 1:8 on the screen for you. Acts 1:8, Jesus says and promises again, the church, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will represent me because the Holy Spirit fills you. But notice, where? Well, not on your couch. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That means you're going. I'm sending. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, Father and Son, giving you the Holy Spirit to live within you that you might go, that you are sent. You are saved to be sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power we are given is to be used, again, that we are sent to the ends of the earth. And that's what the church has been doing, again, when it's been faithful ever since the very beginning. So, The Father sends the Son. The Father, the Son, send the Holy Spirit. And now really the Father, Son, and Spirit send the church. Send the church into the world. Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection on the screen for you. Lots of verses. I'm trying to overwhelm you with biblical content today. Praise the Lord. John 20, verse 21. Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, beautiful verse, even so I am sending you. It's hard to get out of that one. Why would you want to get out of that one? It's beautiful. And then we have, of course, the Great Commission itself. In Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19, Jesus emphatically says, go. He says, go. Doesn't say sit around. Doesn't say pause. He emphatically states, go. So insightful for me. And I pray for you. Our God is a sending God. The Trinity by nature is sending. But here's the kicker. Here's the beautiful application and conviction. If this is who God is, and if we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, if our sanctification, big word in theology, just to mean that we are growing more and more like Jesus Christ, if we are increasingly taking on the heart of Jesus Christ and looking more like him, and if our God is a sending God, therefore we also then, also our DNA is that we are sent for him. I'm going to say this strongly to you. It is theologically impossible to not also by nature, again, to be sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, because it's in our DNA. It's who we look like. It's who we are. It's what we are to do. Let me say our big idea one more time today. You cannot genuinely belong to Jesus Christ and not be on mission. You cannot. It's hereditary. It's in our genes, right? That's what's exciting about this. I want to kind of double click on that for a second, okay? Because the reality is, there's people here right now, again, in a room this size and overflow and the people watching, whatever it is, right? You've been making excuses for a long time as to why this doesn't apply to you. I'm not afraid to push your buttons in this regard. And I'm not afraid to come after your heart because this is what God wants to do too. Listen, you have not been saved to sit around and do nothing. You've not been saved to sit around and just, we'll hear in a second, just digest everything for you and just become some overweight spiritual person that does nothing with what they've been given, okay? That's not going to glorify God. And this is what we're learning again within this series right now. He has saved you because he desires to use you. More to come on that in just a couple of seconds. But think about this way too, okay? So this is precisely why the closer our church is drawn to Jesus Christ, the more intimately we are in relationship with him individually and as a church, then what happens? Then more and more we find ourselves irresistibly on mission for him. That's how beautiful this is. The closer we draw again to Jesus Christ, then the more and more we find ourselves naturally on mission for him. We cannot help it because it's the Holy Spirit again living through us and in us. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we think about this again within our church. Think about all the ministries, all the church plants, praise God, all the compassion, all the services, all the outreach, all the prayer, all the baptisms, all the equipping, all the classes. I mean, everything is leading up to what? Evangelism and healing and multiplication and renewal and growth and kingdom expansion with the heart to see people redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like that's just what happens as we draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are living out our DNA. Right? We are living out our DNA, who God has made us. Again, if you're here right now and you're genuinely alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit right now, if you have any spiritual heartbeat, the Holy Spirit's like, amen. Holy Spirit's like, amen, bro. Again, we never know if he says bro or not. We're not quite sure, right? But he says, amen, sister or child, right? He's like, listen, because this is what I have for you, right? This is the reality. Again, every single one of us alive in Jesus Christ right now, are you feeling conviction? Great. You should. So do I. If you sit here and you're hearing all this and it's like dead and you're like, meh. I'm worried for you, bro. I can say bro. I'm worried for you, bro or sister. If you're sitting here and you're like, I don't care. Well, that's a very bad sign. That's a very bad sign of any genuine life in Jesus Christ. But if you are sitting here and you're like, okay, I agree. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, we agree. That's a great sign. And that's a sign, again, the Lord, again, working in me, working in you, and wanting to speak to us because that is the DNA that we have, again, for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty exciting. And again, let me say this again, okay? Many of you right now are being so powerfully used. Many. I don't know what percentage it is. Just, you know, somebody's thinking about that this week and stuff. How many of us? Well, not enough. I know that. And by the way, just by way of encouragement, so obviously I hear all the baptisms in you know, each month, and I'm so thankful for that. Recently as last week, and then the previous one to that too. I've noticed so many people, I'll just paraphrase, in one way or another, they're like, I was searching, I was lost, I was miserable. And then a friend invited me to hope. And then a friend invited me to hope. And then a friend shared with me the gospel. And then a friend loved me in Jesus Christ. And I'm listening to that. I'm just like, man, ding, 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 ding. That's people living life on mission right there. That is people in our church being used, and you're being used to the extent that others are finding Jesus Christ and saved forever and will spend eternity with you again in the presence and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an awesome way to live. And I'm listening and I'm like, wow, people are responding. People in our church are responding. What if we all did that? What if we all sought to be used in one way or another to live on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ? That is exciting, and that is what we are seeking to drum up and to pray ourselves into a place of power in the Lord. So let's just go to point number three then, and we'll kind of, this is our final point. It's this, hey, Christ follower, you've been sent. Hey, Christ follower, you haven't figured that out yet. You've been sent. Again, the Great Commission is the irrefutable evidence the Lord has sent us, right? Matthew 28:19 on the screen for you. Again, Jesus says, go, right? Go, again, not wait, not stop, not consider, not stretch, go, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I've been doing a lot of lifting for you scripturally in the last several minutes, but let's turn to one more text together, okay? Let's do this, Romans chapter 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's go. Romans chapter 10, continue to apply that pressure, and maybe you can help your neighbor find your way there too. Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Let's hear those pages turning. If you have a phone, I'll try not to. Never mind. Romans 10, I'm just glad you have scripture. So Romans 10, 13, nothing like the real thing, eh, Mike? Nothing like the real thing. There we go, bro. Yeah. Romans 10, 13. He's got it highlighted already. Awesome. Okay. So look at the promise Paul says here, Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that great? Like, that's a promise. Amen. Everyone who calls in the Lord will be saved. But notice what Paul does next, though. He's like, wait a second. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Yes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. All right, here's part of our vision right here. Look up here. We want more people than ever to have beautiful feet in Jesus Christ. We want more and more people to have beautiful feet. People that are walking forward with the gospel. Again, the temptation, and I've been pastor of this church from the beginning, seen a lot. The temptation right now is for you to say, well, Robbie, that's your job. And that's the elder's job. And that's the pastor's job. And that's the leader's job. And that's Mike Marchese's job, whatever. And then, No. That's a theological error. Right now, we got to back this up and say, listen, it's all of our jobs. Because if you've been saved in Jesus Christ, you've been blessed. And if you've been blessed, then you've been sent to be a blessing to others. Because you get to places I will never, ever get to. You have opportunities our elders will never be able to duplicate. You are placed exactly where you are at this time to be light, to be salt for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point. So again, the temptation for many of us is to get out of this and try to ignore God's will by making an excuse and placing it on a few people over there somewhere. No. All of us are called to go forward with the gospel and to love. And again, the application for this series is going to be fleshed out in detail over the next 4 weeks. But we must not allow ourselves the excuse to say this does not apply to me if we are genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That's why Tim Keller, he says this. I'll just read it for you. This is why then the church does not simply have a missions department. The church wholly exists to be a mission. See, that's an important distinction. We don't just have a mission. And by the way, when you go life on mission, people, what they want to do, and myself included, you want to just go to a narrow stream. Well, life on mission solely means evangelism. It does mean evangelism. It's more than evangelism, though. Or life on mission solely means missions and missions trips. It does mean that, but it's more than that. Life on mission is wherever I am, every conversation and light and compassion, a tool of redemption and renewal, wherever I find myself. This is life on mission holistically is awesome and beautiful. All of us have a part to play. Yes, evangelism. Yes, missions. Yes, compassion. All of the above together, seeking again to be used of Jesus Christ to make a difference where we are. This is what we have to see. And this is what we will unpack again in the weeks to come. Again, so awesome. Think about it too, right? Just really important theology. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, okay? So listen, it always like boggles my mind. So where does the fruit come from? The trunk or the branches? The branches, yes. So the fruit by God's design is through us. God doesn't send fruit through the vine, not directly. He sends fruit, again, the vine strengthens, nourishes, and brings all the sap and nutrients, but the branches are what actually bear the fruit. The church is the vehicle to fulfill the mission of God. God's on a mission, and he wants to use you as his branch to bear fruit for him. And he wants to use us as his church to bear fruit for him. It's God's infinite wisdom design. Amazing, amazing. So you've been given a life in Jesus Christ. He wants to bear fruit through you and me. It's worth like just sitting on that and thinking about that. Because I think we often get our theology wrong. And listen, as a Christ follower, God has called you to bless you. Why again? Because he wants you to be a blessing to others. So listen, we cannot hoard. We cannot hoard. We must herald. And major point of application, I'll say this to you, okay? Some are here and have been here for too long, and you have only been a spiritual consumer. You come, you get your needs met, you go home, and nothing happens until the next Sunday when you repeat that process. Maybe you come every Sunday. If you are here to be a spiritual consumer, you are outside of the will of God. Let me say it again. Listen, I'm not afraid to ruffle some feathers. You cannot sit here and just be fed and digest and do nothing. You are outside of God's will. That is not okay. Overflow, not okay. Orangeville, not okay. Whoever's listening right now, not okay, not okay. You cannot sit here in the back row or whatever row you're in and just be fed or whatever, come in here and then do nothing. You got to hear today. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not okay. You have been saved for more. Ephesians 2:10, again, Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Sorry to talk so fast. Trying to sign over there must be impossible. Okay. But listen, we are created. We are created by God for his workmanship. Created before, again, the foundations of the world which God prepared beforehand. You cannot sit here and just consume. You cannot sit here and sit on the bench and never get in the game. Again, I'm telling you, that has to change. And I trust me, the Holy Spirit right now is saying amen as well. The Holy Spirit's like, yep. You've not been saved to sit there. You've been saved to be sent. And again, so many of you, it's happening. It's so awesome. I think about the expansion that God is using in so many lives. You've been saved and God is multiplying life through you. It's so awesome. More of that. More of that. So we cannot be spiritual consumers. We're created to be a mission for God. Listen, so what does this mean? Well, super briefly, it means every staff meeting, every team huddle, every classroom, every cubicle, every neighborhood, every walk to school, every hospital visit, every friendship, every Uber ride, every interaction with the poor, every business trip, every, you have been placed by there uniquely by the Lord to be salt and light to the world around you. Easy? No. Possible? 100%. Exciting? Yes. You've been sent as an agent of redemption if you're alive in Jesus Christ. So, do you want purpose? Live as sent. You want misery? Live for self and sin. You want misery? Live for self. You want purpose and joy? Live as sent. Man, the joy of joining God on mission, eh? It's just so true. Is there anything more thrilling than knowing that you are in the will of God, serving the purposes of God? It's way harder than the other side of that. Way harder, but it's so thrilling and wonderful. And this is why the Lord obviously commands it from us. Again, there's so much we can say right now, and that's what the weeks to come will involve, but maybe right now we just take a moment. Let's just take a moment and quiet our hearts. Maybe just bow our heads. We can just try to be still where we are as we are about to prepare for the Lord's Supper. But let's just take a moment right now and just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? I pray it's so obvious. Holy Spirit, would you renew me again to live life on mission for you? Holy Spirit, I've made excuses for too long. I repent. I ask now for the truth of God to reign in me. I ask for the love of God to be seen through me. I ask for the power of God to be displayed through me. Maybe you're like me and you say, Lord, would you do a fresh work of love in my heart, in my life, in the days and weeks to come? Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you use this church in a profound way to be used of you, to live on mission? We have been saved not to sit still. We've been saved to be sent, to be a blessing to the world around us. We are saved and we are sent. I just want you to reverse that for a second. We are sent, listen, because we are saved. And listen, we are only saved because Jesus Christ was sent. We have no hope unless Jesus Christ was sent. Today, for those of us alive in Jesus Christ, we're going to hold symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now think about it, loved ones. As we hold the symbols, we are holding the symbols that remind us our God is ascending God. We hold the symbols that remind us our God is a God on mission. We hold the symbols to remind us that God sent his son to die in our place, that God sent his son to become a propitiation, to bear the wrath of God in our stead. We hold the symbols to remind us God sent his son to redeem us and reconcile us when we were separated from God. We hold the symbols to remind us that Jesus Christ was sent as forgiveness, to give us forgiveness of sins and to ransom us from sin and Satan, to pay the price to purchase our freedom. We hold the symbols today that remind us our God is a sending God. And the reason he sends is to save. And because we are saved, then now we have purpose and life and joy and meaning. All because our God is a God on mission. The Trinity by nature is sending. And we now have the joy of understanding that we belong to him. And we receive the symbols, listen, with the expectation that Father will soon send his son again to gather us to him forever and ever. It is a wonder to celebrate the Lord's Supper again today with a fresh perspective that our God is a sending God. And for that, we are immensely grateful, immensely grateful. Father, I ask that you will use this time in a beautiful way. And I pray that you are working in us in a wonderful way of what is most important and what you have for us in our lives. Please, Lord, we pray this together in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.